Great is the mystery of our inheritance. The womb of a most pure virgin became the temple of God. He is not defiled, assuming to himself flesh from her. All nations shall come, saying, Glory be to thee, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The antiphon I just read to you is taken from Vespers of today's feast, and it is a vestige of the days when this feast was not merely the first feast of the circumcision, but it was also united with the feast of Our Lady's Maternity until 1931, when Pius XI moved the feast of the Maternity to another time. Well, I thought it would be very good to speak to you today a bit of Mary and give you some examples of her life, but how she teaches us to do something for this new year of ours. After all, now we're all thinking about new beginnings. And just as Mary was, you might say, the beginning of our redemption, for our Lord would not come to this earth other than by her, so also Mary will most hopefully be the beginning of our sanctification this new year of 2013. And then our Lord will come to us in our hearts through the intercession of Mary. On New Year's Day, it brings up the thought of starting over fresh, a new and clean slate with fresh and new resolutions for ourselves. How did you do with your resolutions in 2012? Can you even remember the resolution that you made? Well, if you're like me and perhaps even most men, you've procrastinated with making a resolution, and then soon enough you just forget all about it. And then when the year's end comes and you want to do your examination of conscience on it, well, you can't even think of what your resolution was. Well, the world will say, why do today what can easily be put off till tomorrow? But Our Lady was not that way, was she? We think of all the mysteries of the Rosary, all the events of sacred scripture in which Our Lady appears. Never once do you see in her actions the slightest bit of reluctance, procrastination, or anything like that. She was a woman of few words, but many actions. We think, first of all, of the mystery of the Annunciation. Behold, St. Gabriel says, thou shalt conceive a son. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. Well, think of this. Meditate on this mystery. Our Lady was well versed in sacred scriptures. She knew very well and saw very clearly that whoever the Mother of God was going to be would have much to suffer, have much indeed. And yet, when she knew by the words of the archangel that she was to be the Mother of God, she didn't answer reluctantly. She didn't hesitate. She saw the will of God, and she said, Fiat, be it done unto me according to thy word. She wasn't looking for dignities nor honors, and certainly in the eyes of the world, she had none of those anyway. She merely accepted the will of God. She accepted the cross that came with it. But before Gabriel returned to heaven to tell the whole angelic court Mary's answer to becoming the Mother of God, he had one more thing to say to her. Thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a child in her old age, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Well, Our Lady, she was always attentive to the will of God for each moment. She didn't hesitate here again. She didn't act reluctantly. Indeed, the angel didn't even tell her what she had to do next. He simply made a fact known. Thy cousin Elizabeth hath conceived a child in her old age. And Our Lady, always looking once more for the will of God for this moment, knew what she had to do. And the next thing that the sacred scripture tells us is Our Lady got up and went with haste into the hill country, traveling through rough roads and dangerous areas and all of the rest, all to please her God and to help her neighbor, to do her duty for this present moment, that act of charity. Or let's fast forward again 40 days after the birth of our Savior. The law of purification was that Our Lady, or the mother, should abstain from going to the temple for 40 days after her birth, and she was to present her firstborn son in the temple with the sacrifice, in some cases, of two doves, two birds. And it was not 39, it was not 41 days later, but 40 days later, Our Lady is doing her duty once more, though she's not obliged to that law of purification, but she was there to do it anyway, her duty under the old law, and she was there with baby in her arms and the two doves as well. It was the will of God for her at that moment. And then lastly, we think of how Our Lady lived with her God for 30 years in Nazareth. And you can imagine the conversations they had and how much she must have grown in the love of God during those times and how attached she must have become to her divine Son. But when it was time for her to let her Son go, she wasn't reluctant. She knew that our Lord, who she loved most of all, would have much to suffer as soon as he set forth in his public mission. And yet, her thought was, fiat, let it be done. Just like every mother and father has to eventually let their children go, she did the same, knowing that her son would suffer much. But that was the will of God for her at that moment. Now, turning to ourselves, we like to talk. Unlike Our Lady, she was silent, a woman of few words and much action. We prefer sometimes to talk. And we talk about all of our plans for the new year, all of the things we hope to accomplish and get done, all of the spiritual things that we hope to do one day. But many times this is just as far as it goes. Words. Just words. And we leave it there. But we cannot stop there. Imagine if the angel Gabriel came to Our Lady and said, you are to be the mother of God, but there will be much suffering involved in your becoming the mother. Imagine if she said, maybe. Give me time to think about it. I'm not sure that I can take this heavy cross and all of the sufferings that come with it. Our Lord perhaps never would have been born into this world. Or imagine if Our Lady had said, as so many parents do, unfortunately, when their children are called to the priesthood or to the convent, they say, don't go, stay here, test your vocation in another way. Imagine if she had done that with her divine Son and kept him back, the crucifixion never would have taken place, and our redemption would never have been accomplished. Tomorrow. That's all we ever seem to say, isn't it? But there's a story about another saint, and you all should, you've, I'm sure, heard of him once or twice before with all of the sermons on the saints you get here at St. Gertrude's. St. Expeditus. Many people try to deny that he ever existed, but he's truly a saint of the Catholic Church. And he was a commander in one of the legions of the Roman Empire, and he was pagan, too, for much of his life. But one day he decided, by the grace of God, he would give up his pagan religion and all of the many false deities, and he would become a Christian. Well, the devil knew about this and all of his plans, and he appeared to St. Expeditus one day in the form of a big black crow. And he came before St. Expeditus and said, cross, three times, cross, cross, which means in Latin, tomorrow, 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 as if to tell him, just put off your conversion until tomorrow. For the devil knows that once we put off till tomorrow what should be done today, well, then the chances are we'll do it another day and another one until finally it never gets accomplished. Well, how did St. Expeditus answer this? With generosity. Similar to Our Lady's. He stomped the tempting crow to his death and then shouted out prayerfully the words, Hodie, three times, today, as if to tell the devil, not tomorrow, but today, I am going to convert and become a Christian. And so today, New Year's Day, you and I, every one of us individually, must make our resolution to do our main duty in this life, to sanctify our souls. That's why we're called. And if we're not doing that, if we're not becoming saints, then we're not doing our main duty. Today, you and I must begin not only speaking about, but practicing all of these resolutions. And don't let this duty seem so daunting and impossible as it so often does seem. We think to ourselves, it is downright impossible to become a saint. But the reality is that it's not. You simply have to be like Mary, attentive to the will of God for this moment. Don't worry about and become overly anxious about what you might have to do tomorrow, what you might have to suffer later. Think of the duty of the present moment. What's your duty right now at this moment? It's to listen to a sermon. And in a few more moments, it will be to pay attention to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and to receive Holy Communion devoutly. Take it one duty at a time, one moment at a time, one day at a time, never looking too far ahead, that is, overly anxious, but being content with doing your duty at this moment as well as you can. It could be something as simple as that act of charity that God gives you the opportunity to perform, holding the door open for an elderly couple, perhaps. That's an art that is lost among my generation. We think only of ourselves. We should think of the charity that we can do to others. Or maybe your duty is this. If you find yourself in the state of sin now, on this first day of the new year, well, there's a confessional right back there with your name on it. Go see our Lord, Dr. Jesus, and ask him for a cure of all of your sins. Invite him back into the stable of your own heart this Christmas season. Or maybe your duty this year, your resolution will be to overcome some bad habit, to cultivate a certain virtue that you have. Well, maybe take the first step to overcoming that, and that is learn how. Pick up a book from the bookstore or order it online or something, but read. Read the lives of the saints. Pick up a spiritual book that teaches you how to overcome your faults, whatever they might be. Or lastly, your duty might be this, and it is a duty that we always forget, but it's a duty of a present moment. That is, the duty might be that you have something to suffer. God sent that suffering to you for a reason. It's your duty to say, fiat, let it be, and offer it up for some good end, such as the relief of the suffering souls. But take your cross. Anything from being in a bad mood to your arthritic joints acting up on the cold winter days or sickness, whatever it be, that's your duty at the present moment. Resolve to concentrate on the duty of each passing moment, not becoming overly anxious about the future. Do your duty at this moment. Sanctify this moment. And then before you know it, moment after moment, day after day, is taking care of itself. And you're growing slowly but steadily in holiness. And you will one day become a saint. So to conclude, let us take Our Lady and St. Expeditus as our two patrons for this year and accept the will of God at each moment as they did, generously, not procrastinating, but generously accepting it, doing the duty of the here and now. And may Our Lady grant us perseverance in this New Year's resolution, which is the best one of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.